Hey Wargamers, welcome back to the channel, Death From Above Wargaming. I'm Aaron, and I'm here with Tom and Dom on the final Sunday of Season 2 of Jump Point, the most controversial show in the Inner Sphere and beyond. So we're just going to kind of wrap up the season. We're going to talk a little bit about the Kickstarter and what's coming next from the channel. So why don't we kick it off, Tom? Dom, how about a little rapid fire to get us going?
All right.
So let's talk about Jump Point in general in this rapid fire. So you know the rules. First thing that comes to mind. So what was your favorite episode of season 2, Tom?
Gatekeepers and Grognards.
Dom.
I really like the one that we did on Combined Arms and Battlefield Support because of the Kickstarter. Obviously, so many vehicles. I really like that one.
Yeah. I liked the... Actually, my favorite one was going all the way back to the AR-VR one. I really liked that one. I always loved that concept in general. That was my favorite one. All right. What was the least favorite episode of Season 2, Tom?
The aftermath of Gatekeepers and Grognards. I think.
Oh my god, so good. Dom.
I think, I echo that sentiment exactly. That was a tough week.
Yeah. Yeah, that was definitely my... I thought it was a good conversation. I think a lot of stuff...
I did too, yeah.
...was taken out of context. I think we had a lot of really good conversation in the comments section as well. I never want to see fans upset. You know, I'm a people pleaser, as Tom knows. I try. So that one was kind of a bummer, but I thought it was a good salient topic. All right, so let's do the last rapid fire. What is one topic you'd like to dive deeper into? It could be, you know, brand new, an extension of something we did. Like, what's any topic you would want to dive into deeper, Tom?
AR/VR, for sure.
Okay. Dom?
It's such a fun topic.
Just purely subjective. I really like doing the rules in-depth analysis. So, you know, like when we occasionally do pieces on like the lawyer's rule section or how you can kind of improve a rule and things like that. I don't know. It's obviously quite a huge topic though. So I don't know if you could do like one episode on it, but I like the idea of us like drilling down into things like that and giving it a bit more, fleshing things out a little bit.
Yeah, one for me was the one we did around, and actually this is one I think we did with Dave, was around the mission design. And, you know, we had a lot of interesting conversation about that, sort of tangential to what you were talking about, Tom. There's so much there to really unpack. And we kind of came into the topic and, you know, we weren't really shooting from the hip, but we don't do it. We don't rehearse. Like, we don't do a ton of like pre-work or prep. We kind of come up with the topic and we talk. And after the episode, and after I was reading through the comments, which were, you know, a lot of good stuff in there. You know, I was thinking like, huh, like I wonder if there's more to this. Like if I really sat down and tried to come up with like a method to the madness, right? What makes a good mission? I don't know. It was a very interesting topic because I think it is difficult to come up with something good, but I think there is a recipe there. So I would love to talk about that a little more. All right. Why don't we dive into our Ready Room Roundtable? All right, this is exciting. We have a few topics. We're going to start with the Mercenaries Kickstarter. All right, the big glitz. So I'll start with an opening question. Tom, what did you think about the overall size and scale of this Kickstarter compared to, you know, the first Clan Invasion Kickstarter?
I think it grew way too big. Mm-hmm. I think they should have delivered it months ago and not gone as overboard as they did. It's just unnecessary. And you saw, I mean, to me at least, following the drama on the internet, it seems like they made a series of
drama.
Bad. Yeah, like they messed a bunch of stuff up over and over again. Like it's almost inexcusable to screw up shipping as a professional company. Like it's just like none of it makes sense to me. And it seems like it all stems from the fact that they just kept piling stuff on top of their staff. I don't like it.
Well,
but then on the other side of it is like, we're going to get all this ridiculous stuff. You know, we're going to get tons and tons of models.
So you kind of stole my answer a little bit, like, but for me, I don't care about giant maps. I have enough of them. Like, I don't care about some of the, like, the things that
And
cause the
you
shipping
can't
to get
opt out of them,
wacky,
right?
and you can't opt out of them. I don't want a freaking
Don't want
10-inch
them.
Timberwolf. I'm not, I
Don't
don't know,
want
what
them.
am I going to use it for? Target practice out back with my rifle. Like, I don't need it and I don't want it. And I wish you could have traded this stuff in because I would rather have more force packs, right?
It reminds me of going to like these
Get
conferences,
that off my
you know,
chest.
and all these like awful vendors just throw all these tchotchkes in your you know, swag bag. And you go home with like lanyards and all these pens you that don't work and
So Dom, let's go to you. So think about again size and scale, things they did well, things they could have done differently. Give us the gamut there. What do you think?
So I am very excited for it. I think that the content within the Kickstarter when it comes to the like the force packs is brilliant. It's kind of the mechs, the weird and wonderful, like things like quad mechs, and you've got mechs in there that are a little bit unloved, but people love them, you know, like things like the Assassin and the Clint and things like that. So the content, I think, is brilliant. I would echo what you say on the wider point of the extra things that we're getting in there. I never use maps, so as soon as I get those, I'll be giving them away or putting them on eBay. And I don't know if you know this, but that's why the shipping is usually quite expensive because the maps are taking up so much space. So I think they should have had, I mean, you know, lessons learned maybe if they do, even I don't think they'll do Kickstarters on this scale again, but just give people the chance just to be like, well, I'd rather get it a bit cheaper or get something else and not have the things that I'm just not going to use.
I agree. But to sort of pile on the positivity, some things that I thought they did very well. I thought the number of miniatures and the selection of miniatures, right? The addition of vehicles, I thought that was really well done and thoughtful to your point. I think they didn't overdo it with the miniatures. They overdid it with other crap that I don't want. I know the Savannah Masters got mixed reviews. And I really did genuinely feel bad for Randall when like it got leaked. I think he was like part of his soul died there. But I thought that was kind of a neat little thing to add in. It wasn't like too much overhead, you know, the Visigoth, I think that's the fighter that's coming out. Very cool. So I think from a miniatures perspective, I do think they nailed it. You know, end of the day, I think you're right. I think once it's all here, everybody will feel a lot better. But to Tom's point, some of it was like,
I think as well, to develop that a little bit, and I kind of cr try to cross-reference this against the last Kickstarter. Now, I know that like when the Clan Invasion Kickstarter was, it was delayed for a little bit, and they put all like the shipping stuff out, so you could see which ship your Kickstarter was on. And I had people messaging me saying stuff like, oh, it's round the Cape of Good Hope, or whatever." And it was like really surreal to kind of see
It's
this.
stuck in the canal.
In the canal,
The ship
you
all of
haven't
a
even
sudden is like backwards.
But like we've not had anything like that this time, so I think that is testament to the fact that they've really kind of, it seems to have been done that they've done all the plastics first, and then you know they've, yes, we've had hiccups and problems along the way, but it seems to be more professional this time for sure. I think they did definitely learn lessons from that first Kickstarter, and I think you've got to give them some credit for that as well.
So on that note, let's talk about when they've given a shipping update. So like I think May 8th was the last official update on the Kickstarter, and everybody just found out that the stuff is has a ship date because Lauren talked about it in some kind of live stream. No update. This is 20 some days later, almost the end of the month going into June, and everybody actually found out the date secondhand from people on social media. So I don't know if I'd give them that much credit, but I'm still a little bit, I will say, it's like the shipping problems and all that stuff, and just like the back and forth with communications, and it's just, it's all
It's a bad
like,
look.
it's too much for me to deal with. I can't,
Yeah.
my
Yeah,
brain
I
bandwidth is like a rat, you know? Maybe a mouse, maybe a rat, I'm not sure.
so two things I wanna just throw out there, and one is a just sort of me rehashing a point I already made. all of these mistakes would be easier for me to digest if there was no Urban Mech Lamb or map scale dropships or 50-page clan spaniel sourcebook, and we were like all hands on deck and doing things the right way and making sure we were committed to this Kickstarter. But they're
before
doing all
doing
this
all
like,
that.
Yeah. Right, and they're doing all this goofy stuff on the side, and that's I guess that's why like I feel a little bit like what are we doing?
They certainly, I mean, from what I understand, they're significantly bigger than you know they were during the last Kickstarter, the clan Kickstarter,
right?
But I do echo your sentiments there to some extent, Aaron. I think when you're doing a project of this size and there's quite a lot of money involved in it, then you need to really kind of exercise a certain degree of professionalism. I'm sure that their counter argument would be, well,
that's a good way
the Kickstarter on the shelf, and we did the clan spaniel thing in the kind of void between. My issue, though, to some extent, is, and we'll talk about the roadmap in a second, I imagine, but when we've got that level of kind of intricacy on it, it's like, hang on a minute, people are still getting like having panic attacks that they can't afford their shipping, and we're talking about things that are going to be done in 2027, and the optic for that is
the optics.
Really,
you took the word right out of my mouth.
What about the retail products that they've released, the card game, and then a force pack? Right, I'm pretty sure. Uh-huh. I've seen at least two. There might be more because I can't keep up.
The card game was a mistake, I think, wasn't it?
It was.
The one that you two reviewed.
Yeah, that was the one you like beat up the dude in the Barnes & Noble stock room to get a copy.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah. They still can't find him.
Tom is a real-life guest agent.
I pulled that bone out of my forearm or whatever. Like Word of Blake style. Like.
Oh yeah. My god, dude, I freaking love it. It's so good.
But there's just a lot of things where like I think Dom nailed it about the professionalism, about the optics, like all of that stuff. Just people are looking for trouble. Everybody's like Catalyst is in the crosshairs with a lot of people, it seems, for the way they're handling things. And so to make these kind of unforced errors is like, Jesus, like come on, we're trying to like support you and like
I have been accused of trying too hard to support them. It's a true story,
I think.
So one other thing I want to throw out there, since we're ragging, and you brought it up about the products, and you know the update from Lauren, which honestly I didn't even see. I'll get my main way of knowing that things are released is honestly like our patrons, because here's the deal: like I'm not on Twitter. I don't have time to like troll Facebook every day. Like, shocker. Like, I don't do that stuff. Like, the only social media I do is for our channel, like, legitimately. And I expect that because I'm on Catalyst mailing list, I would get an email like I used to. I swear to God, a year ago, I'd get an email that said, hey, these products are coming out in a week. Now, like, I just find out stuff is available. Right through, like
they're doing it on these live streams. That's their new thing. The news,
yeah. But
roundups,
dude,
or
I got three kids. I coach four different soccer teams. I run a channel, and I have a day job. I don't have time to sit on a freaking live stream. And I'm not the only one in this scenario. Yeah. It drives me nuts. I'm just got to get it out there. Drives me nuts. Send an email, right? Like that's what they're for. Yeah. Anyway, I'm done ranting. Where am I?
We're getting old, Aaron. We're getting old.
I mean, really, it's like is email like a boomer thing? Like the 3D printing?
Totally, it is. Yeah. 100%.
I think what you're saying, Aaron, is very valid, because I think especially the predominant, I suppose, demographic in BattleTech, I would guess, is between say 30 and 50. Right? It's kind of, you know, there are a lot of younger players, there are older players, but I think our generation, we're all the same. We're all a similar age. We've all got day jobs and we're all busy. And I just do not have time to sit and listen to streams, especially, you know, not the time difference notwithstanding. I just don't have time to do it. I mean, occasionally I can kind of pick it up on YouTube and listen to it at like 1.5 speed. And I, you know, we're on the kind of the content side of this and we don't get time to do it. And I'm sure that that's the same for any... for the majority of people watching as well. And I think most of it does come, this is the problem, we talk about optics, the news that people are getting is secondhand. And that's bad. Like, as a company, you want your kind of spin on things. You're the ones with the direct messaging. Whereas they'll put something on a live stream, three people will get it, package it up for their own agenda, and then put it out there. And we're inclusive of that. I mean, us making this content is part of that. But again, we have to talk about it because, you know, the channels that they're putting out there, it's just not getting where it needs to go. Right. And that's where the frustration creeps in.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's so true. It is very true. Yeah. And I mean, I remember some of our earlier jump points talking about the marketing in general, right? The antiquated website, how difficult it is to find things. And I'll be honest, like, you go on their Facebook page, you go on, you know, Discord, like some people like they, he said it on Discord. And I'm like, when did Discord become like an authoritative source of like when products are being released? It's ridiculous. But anyway, go ahead, Tom. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, I just wanted to fact check myself. I just checked the Kickstarter. The last update was on May 10th, which was shipping. Well, the May 8th was the last, like, this was shipping only. Okay. The last, like, Kickstarter update was the 8th. Just, I don't want anybody to, like, jump on me about that. Like I said, I'm super happy for the plastics. And another positive thing is I think the art team had their head down crushing the designs. Like, they're all really good. Everything is so cohesive and really excited to see the stuff in person. Yeah. So definitely positive there. You can snip all the rest out and just have that be my answer if you want. It'd be really funny. I watch this like in a, you know, I'm like, wait a minute, where's my like 15-minute rant?
it could happen. It could happen. Let's move on to the next topic, though, in this roundtable, which is, in fact, the 2024 Plus roadmap. So there's a roadmap that has been circulating, and it has Lance packs and whatnot, you know, Force packs, I guess we'll call them more generically, going all the way into 2027. Dom, I want to start with you. Do you think this is good or bad? Do you think this is maybe the end of the Kickstarter, you know, sort of cycle and more to a regular cadence of delivery? What do you think about that?
I would imagine that the days of the mass Kickstarter are very, very dead. Dead as fried chicken, as the expression goes. I think the reason being that this has got nothing really to do with Catalyst per se, but I think the whole Kickstarter model is struggling at the moment just because of things like international shipping and increasing costs and multitude of factors. So I think, I mean, I'm pretty sure, I mean, from what I've heard on the kind of scuttlebutt across the community, they're going to do Aces as a Kickstarter, or that's kind of one of their intentions, which is the solo play game.
Interesting.
I think it's like classic, I don't know if it's classic or Alpha Strike or both. That's what I hear anyway. And then they've talked about doing maybe Solaris 7.
Okay, I did hear Solaris.
Yeah, I think it very much will be like one box set and like a couple of things. So, you know, something that, like, now I know the delivery that I get is probably going to weigh about a quarter of a ton, right? So I'm going to have to wheel it down the driveway. Whereas I think just getting like a little package, all the kind of pressure's off then. So I think that will be the direction they go. The roadmap, though, was very, very interesting. And I'm sure a lot of our viewers will have seen, you know, like the kind of the general ideas of what they've done in terms of they're going to do the House Force packs and some of the clan packs. And some of it gets very, very eclectic. And we're not going to deal with it here because there's too much. No doubt we will do in future episodes. But, you know, for now, it's something where I don't know how much of it was like a leak, an official leak, them just kind of playing around a little bit and getting some buzz. I'm not sure, because some of it did look almost like, what? Like, I believe that they're doing it. Yeah. But in terms of, to answer your question, like, is it, you know, like, then a good idea? I think it's good in so much as it gets buzz going and people talk about it, and, you know, allows, especially for like content creators, we can obviously then talk about things like this, and it gets a lot of like extra thought processes going on online. But I do think maybe if I were them, I'd probably do it like year by year. I think doing it into that level, like a 3-year update, it's what we said on the Kickstarter. It's like, we haven't even got the Kickstarters yet, and we're talking about 2027 Wars of Reaving pack. Like, Okay, I mean, my brain can't even go there at the moment. And I think that causes probably a bit more confusion as opposed to what they should be doing, which is a bit more clarity.
So that was exactly my reaction. It felt like everybody's sitting around in a room sort of giggling, getting super excited about the future, which is fine. You're allowed to do that. But at the same time, like, the house you're sitting in is burning to the ground, right? Like, we got shipping issues, we got this, we got that, right? And they had the Kerensky Con or whatever it is, right? That was like all in the midst of all, that was all happening at the same time, right?
Yeah.
And I think that comes back to that optics thing. I love roadmaps. I think it's a great idea to have a plan. I'm excited that they do in fact have one. Whether or not, I think it's a very ambitious one. So whether or not they actually stick to it, I think it's a tall order. I did think there were some mechs on there. I was like, why? You know, this thing exists for literally like 10 years of the lore. I'm not sure why we're wasting time making a miniature for this particular thing. But yeah, kind of interesting. All right. So next question, Tom, this one's for you. So they're coming out with Force manuals very soon. And the Force manuals are essentially a reboot of an older product that sort of died on the vine. They'll have, you know, special format. Think of it like a codex that bolts onto the main rules.
Is it like a TRO?
No, it's going to be faction specific. So like Draconis Combine Force
manual.
Oh,
yeah. Okay. They were putting them out for a little while, weren't they?
They printed three for Alpha Strike. Davian, Karuta, and Mercs. And they all had like little special rules and things like that. So I don't exactly know, you know, how deep they're going to go. I do know Mech Bay did an interview with our buddy NC Kestrel. He's a good dude, knows his stuff. So I think that interview probably was very good. I have not had a chance to listen to it yet. But there were lots of details.
It was good. Yeah, very good.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So check it out. So the thing that I'm driving at here, Tom, is this: like, there doesn't seem to be any indication that they are going to overhaul, deviate from, revise the core rules, right? Because they're releasing these books that are built. Right. They're built on the basic Alpha Strike chassis, right? How's that make you feel?
Yeah, I don't have a good answer for that. That's not like, again, negative for my own personal reasons. I think it's great. Like, that was something that I was really looking forward to, was like how specific, mech information, that kind of thing. So you can build really thematic and fun things. That it's based off of a rule set that I think we would all like to see updated, not the best thing. But does that preclude them from updating it? You know, adopting a new rule set like Override or something in that vein is obviously out of the cards, but
right,
improving things is maybe possible. But I don't want to fall into the cycle of like, the one criticism people have is that we use a different rule than some raw, you know, alpha or classic.
Right. And well, even when we play alpha and classic, we get criticized for using house rules, which I'm pretty confident everybody does.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was going to say. Like, the whole reason we do is just because we find issue with the other rule sets and aren't, you know, trying to make it better. It's status quo, you know. It's like, okay, you put out a roadmap of product, which isn't the same thing as a strategic roadmap, in my opinion. Like, there are different intentions and grains and focuses, and that's not we've talked about wanting to see that kind of thing from them, but again, that's not the roadmap we were talking about. Like, saying you're going to release this mech, like, not the point of a roadmap. In my opinion, not the point of a roadmap.
Yeah, it's just a release schedule, right? It's not a strategic right?
Yeah. I want to see them talking about how they're going to finally relate the different product lines together better. You know, what their plan is for, again, modernizing the rules to accommodate people's modern play style, you know, and some of the, you know, stuff. Yeah, all that kind of thing.
I think Just to go back, I think you made a really good point there on product lines, and I think that's key to this as well. Like, and it goes back to comms. Like, when they do a product line for like the whole vehicle thing, to me, should have been a massive product push, right? It should be like, right, new rule set, completely reformatted in terms of classic. Instead, it's hidden in the Mercenaries box set, which is part of the Kickstarter, and they allow people to beta test it who did the Kickstarter. For me, when you talk about the roadmap, that should have been a 3 to 4 month like product push. They do it as well with the Force Pack, so they'll bring out the Force Pack books and then the Force Pack that are on the roadmap. So like the Davian, they'll bring them presumably out together. So there is some kind of product tie-up, but I just think they need to be much tighter in terms of how they're kind of operating those products to kind of maximize what they're doing on them. They do it on some level, but not as much as I'd like to see.
So yeah, same. I want to give a closing thought on this topic, and something you said sort of made my synapses connect here. It's really interesting when you said these rules are hidden in the box, and it's almost like this, right? I buy the box, and if I don't have the broader understanding of what is BattleTech,
right,
I think this is the way to play vehicles, exactly. Right? And it almost creates further bifurcation, further fragmentation, further separation from, right, the core rules, which are so fragmented to begin with, tons of optional rules, right? And this is their way of advancing the game, not saying like, all right, we're going to scrub it and this is 2.0, this is 3.0, right? They're like, well, here's another way you could play, here's another way you could play. So it's interesting. And you made this point earlier in the season, Tom, about the sort of convergence of product lines. Well, how does the continuum fit together? I think that's a very great point.
They probably have to think about that, you know? And it's probably a lot for them to think about too. I mean, maybe somebody has that in their head, but it's not an easy thing when you actually put pen to paper and they realize, oh, this is a lot harder to, you know, to do.
Yeah.
And takes intention. Yeah.
So
there's my question.
Go ahead, Tom. I can tell you got something on the brain.
I was just saying, like, when are we going to get our Henry Cavill? Who's our Henry Cavill, or, you know, the guy who plays D&D? Like, we got Vin Diesel, right, playing D&D. We got Henry Cavill playing 40K. Who's going to be the first celebrity BattleTech player?
Wow, that's a... Leave it in the comments. Who is the first...
Who do you think?
Scarlett Johansson, obviously.
I'm really going to tell us what.
Scarlett Johansson.
I've never heard any... You know, I'm very curious if there's anyone.
Yeah. Have you seen Ryan Reynolds and Rob McElhenney's new documentary, Welcome to Tharkad? All right. So why don't we talk a little bit about Tales from the Laboratory? What's coming from DFA? What do we have coming next? So the first thing is this, Tom. We have brand new merch. Did you know that? Tom knew. Dom, did you know? We do have brand new merch. We have some cool new fitted hats. We've got hoodies that have sweet side patches and things on them. New t-shirts. Basically, it's a brand new vendor. We're thrilled with the quality. They even make these little cool morale patches if you want to get them. Like, so there's all sorts of cool stuff you can get over there. The link's on our website. The link's also in the description of this video. New coffee mugs. Dom, we need to get you one of these. You still got the V1 coffee mug.
My old cup outdated.
Yeah, we've got to get you a new one. We also have like a super mega mug. It's really big for people that drink lots of coffee. So we got that going on. The other thing is, I don't know, we were talking about maybe doing a third soundtrack. Did you know DFA had two soundtracks available? They didn't know that, but you know it now. You can get them on Amazon, Spotify, iTunes, all the big places are streaming them. We were talking about maybe doing a third one. If you're interested in that, let us know. We have a new series coming called Table Ready, where Ben will be providing some tips and tricks. You'll get to watch him paint live. Very, very cool. As he goes through a lot of the different factions, we'll be starting with some of the mercenaries. So perfect in time for the Kickstarter. And then we're going to give some other systems some love. So we did talk a little bit about, you know, the rules not changing and sort of the core systems. You know, we've been doing a lot of override, probably been doing that for maybe 3 or 4 months now. We mixed in a little bit of Alpha Strike. I think we will be going back to Alpha Strike, but leave it in the comments. Let us know. And if we should play like the raw sort of 2-to-1 scale Alpha Strike or the map scale 1-to-1 Alpha Strike. Interested to hear what people think about house rules. There was recently a thread on Reddit, Tom. I think you saw it. I don't know, Dom, if you saw it or not.
I don't use Reddit.
Yeah, no, me neither. Somebody forwarded me this link, and some gentleman was like, "Hey, here are some of the channels that I thought were really, you know, great," and they listed, you know, us in there. So thank you for that, by the way. And then there were some folks who, like, just a couple, you know, the usual rabble rousers that were like harping on our use of house rules. And it was kind of interesting to me because I thought everybody pretty much plays with house rules. I don't know anybody that plays Battletech consistently unless you go to like a convention and they're playing like vanilla out of the book 3025, like classic. You know, it's funny, like even when you go to Alpha Strike tournaments, I'll sit and I'll watch. People don't play it correctly. They don't double like the movement penalty for vehicles going up and down hills. They don't do the line of sight through woods correctly. There's so many things people do wrong. It's hilarious. I want to know what you guys think. Leave it in the comments. Tell me what you think about house rules, optional rules, all that. We're also talking about refreshing our how to play Alpha Strike using sort of the primarily raw rules. And then also, you know, every now and then there's the folks that pine for Classic. I'm very curious, how many of you really want to see Classic? If you don't leave it in the comments, you can't cherry pick later next year. You can't be like, I love this is your moment. You got to say it now. Forever hold your peace otherwise. The other exciting thing we have coming out is a series of shorts. So some of them may have already been released, but we're looking that basically drop one every Friday night. You'll get a new short for the foreseeable future, at least into the fall. Got lots of really cool things there. We're gonna have some new mechs to show off. It's almost like a mini Battletech, if you will. Some of the fluff and some of the stats of the mechs as it goes on the turntable. I've been very busy kit bashing mechs like a lunatic, as you may have heard in our battle reports. You may have seen some of them already. Some of them you most certainly have not seen yet. So really excited to get that series out as well. So lots of good stuff that we've got brewing here at the studio. And of course, I want to say thank you to our patrons. You guys are the best. Without you, I would be totally unmotivated and unwilling, as would be the rest of our team. So thank you very much for everything that you do. Appreciate you every day. Now, Tom, are you ready for the final render blender of season 2?
Bring it on.
All right. Now, I picked one. I want to talk about this mech first. All right. So this mech was the very first mech that I played in MechWarrior 4. I had never seen it prior. I missed that sort of Civil War era. Never seen it prior. Loved it. It's asymmetrical, so I know you're going to love it. But it has a very, very special place in my heart. It is, in fact, the Argus. Here she is. So we have three wonderful renders, courtesy of Anthony Scroggins at Shimmering Sword. So I'm going to bring this up full screen. All right. Let's see what we can do.
This looks like a medium mech.
It's a 60-tonner, so it's just barely a heavy. Okay.
Yeah. Wow. What a really cool one. Chicken legs, check. Asymmetrical, check. It's basically a mutated Dyson vacuum, check. I love it. It has that ball, you know, from the Dyson vacuums. Dude, it's really cool. This is such a cool mini. It looks fast. I'm sure it's actually not. It is really cool. This is one where it would be awesome if it was articulating. Like, imagine like the cool poses you could give that thing with that sort of central, you know.
Yeah.
And like, look at the legs, the like cam lobe looking upper thigh, very cool, super chunky. The feet are pretty cool. Man, this thing is awesome. What a great! And this is coming out in the which force pack?
Yeah, I don't think this is in the Kickstarter.
I was gonna say I thought it was in one of the Fedcom roadmap packs, but it's not.
Yeah, I love the head, upper torso, where it's like narrow. It has such a cool shape. Like top down, it's probably like a T shape. It's kind of narrow in both directions and it intersects. Very cool. Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of this mech. It almost looks like the whole thing's like hanging off the back in a way. Very cool. I bet Scroggins had a really fun time making this one.
Yeah, I love the detail as well. Like in here, like these rivets and this giant ball. Like I don't know if the whole torso like pivots up and you know what I mean. Like looks down,
like
looks
the
up.
Ammo cassette on the bottom of the LRM. Like, so cool.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't even notice that. That is very cool.
Yeah, you could just imagine like a big loader, like pushing that thing up in a mech bay. Yeah, very cool.
Absolutely.
I've now got your answer. By the way, I found it, and you were quite right, Aaron. It's in the Starly Quarter 2. Pack, which is the Daisy the Emperor, the Argos Talions, and the coolant truck. So it's the next one.
Yeah, there's not. I can't see anything that I would change on it.
I love it, guys. I love it. I love it. I love it. Yeah, Argus is one of my favorites. They did it justice. Looking forward to some of those other Mech 4 designs, like the Thanatos.
That thing's gonna paint up awesome too.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm debating on how to do it. I mean, I believe it's a FedCom mech, right? And ends up on the more on the Davian side than Steiner.
Yeah.
It's
the post clan equivalent of it's one of those like clan inspired mechs that the Fed Rats come up with. You can see it's got that very much look, got that clan look it to does. It. But that model is stunning, by the way. That LRM10, I love that. We've never seen anything like that before that they've done with that little flippy LRM10. It's gorgeous.
So cool.
Yeah.
Well, guys, this is it. We're wrapping up season 2 of Jump Point. Will there be a season 3? I don't know. There was so much controversy in season 2. I don't know if my heart can take a season 3, but we'll see. Leave it in the comments.
Do the patrons want it? That's the question.
Nah, the patrons love it. The patrons want everything. they deserve
it. As long
everything.
As they want it, we'll keep doing it. Wow. You know?
Yeah, we'll leave it in the comments, guys. Let us know what you think. Speaking of patrons, if you want to help out the channel, it's very simple. You can subscribe, you can like, you can leave a comment, right? Those are the easiest and freest ways to support the channel. There is also a super thanks where you can tip the channel through YouTube if you don't want to get involved in Patreon. But if you do want to get involved in Patreon, that is the place. That is where it's at. There's different tiers starting as little as $1 a month, and then the higher tiers unlock different perks, sneak peeks, and things of that nature. Also, Ares Games and Minis, want to say thanks to Derek for his many years of partnership and supporting the channel. And guys,
and he's got a new website.
Go ahead.
Looks I said, right. And he's got a new website. Yeah.
Ooh, that's so true. Yeah, he's got a new website. Definitely check it out. If you want to get anything BattleTech related, the minis, the dice, the books, anything at all, you can head on over to Ares Games and Minis. It's got great terrain there as well. Battle mats from Frontline Gaming, and the shipping is extremely reasonable. So at least for
all
the US.
Of your peripherals for the periphery.
All the wow.
There you go.
That's a slogan and a half.
Ooh,
he can just have
end
it for
the
free.
Episode.
Well, speaking of ending the episode, I think that's it, guys. I think we're all wrapped up here. So, guys, I hope you enjoyed season 2 of Jump Point. It's been fun. Thank you so much for watching. And, of course, stay tuned. Always great stuff coming from Death from Above Wargaming. Happy Sunday.